Well, please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Luke's Gospel in chapter 17, the Gospel of Luke in 17, the 17th chapter. This past Thursday was the national holiday of Thanksgiving. It's a time when many people, Christians and non-Christians alike, pause to give thanks. It's good and appropriate when the rest of the country is doing that for us to do so as well, to take special opportunity to give thanks to God. But it's always good for us to give thanks. We don't need a special day for that. We don't need Thanksgiving Day, but since there is one, great. But Thanksgiving for us as Christians should be a little bit different for us, or maybe a lot different for us than it is for the rest of the world. And today we're going to take a little break from our study through the book of Proverbs to consider the subject of Thanksgiving. It's something I've preached on before here, but not recently. And so I'm going to bring you some of those thoughts that I've preached here before. And I dare say that a lot of you weren't here last time I preached some of this material on Thanksgiving, but with a shorter week, that was a helpful thing to be able to dig back into something we've done before and to consider Thanksgiving. I trust you'll find it appropriate and relevant today as well. And so since we've had occasion to think about Thanksgiving, I want to maybe sort of put a little bow on that, wrap that up as we come to the end of our Thanksgiving weekend. Maybe some of you had Thursday and Friday off of work, and tomorrow you're anticipating heading back into the work week and all that lies ahead of you. And I pray that we'll be able to take thankful hearts with us into that, wherever it is that we're headed when we walk out of these doors today. That we won't leave Thanksgiving at Thanksgiving, but that we will live lives of gratitude with thankfulness always on our hearts. Not just words, but actions. Not just once a year, but all the time. We're not just to be thankful for good things that we've received or good things that have happened, but be thankful to God for those things. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Good gifts come to us, not just appear. The best the world can do is sort of offer a generic thanksgiving, or maybe be thankful to a person who gave them something. But we are thankful to the giver of every good gift. It's not just we're thankful, we are thankful to God for who He is and what He's done for us. Then we're not just to be thankful for what we perceive to be good, but thankful for other things, good or bad, pleasant or difficult, that God sends our way, since He is ordering it all for our good. We also have one great thing for which to be thankful that the world does not have, and that is our salvation, something we ought to be always giving thanks for, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts to save sinners like us. With so much to give thanks for, and we haven't even begun to list some of the things that we could give thanks for, just a few things, but it's not surprising to find the scriptures which guide our lives as followers of Christ, not surprising to find those scriptures full, and I mean full, of references to giving thanks. It is everywhere. There, I mentioned last week, I think, some ways online, some Bible sites, Bible Gateway or others, where you can search for particular words in the Bible. Go home and search for the word thank or thanks or thanksgiving or giving thanks and see just how many times the scriptures talk about thanksgiving and giving thanks. We're to give thanks before the assembly, before the gathering of God's people. Psalm 111 in verse 1. Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart and the company of the upright in the congregation. So that's what we sought to do after our luncheon last Sunday, to have opportunity to give thanks before God's people, a testimony of how He blessed you that He might receive the glory. But you don't need a special day to do that either. I hope you encourage one another, Lord's Day by Lord's Day, as you gather together and talk to one another and fellowship with one another, that you're able to say, I'm very thankful to the Lord for how He sustained me through the last week. You have testimony to how He did that and encourage one another with how He answered prayer. You don't have to wait for a gathering again once a year at our luncheon before Thanksgiving to say, well, now's the only time I can give thanks in the congregation. You have opportunity to do that when we gather for prayer in the evenings and we receive requests and reasons for giving thanks. You don't have to wait, again, until Thanksgiving for that. We give opportunity for it whenever we gather for prayer meeting, or typically when we gather for prayer meeting, to give thanks to God, to acknowledge His goodness. Publicly and privately, we should always be a people of thanks. And so this morning, I want to focus our attention on some of what God's Word has to say about giving thanks. It has a lot to say, we've noted. And I want us to encourage us to pursue what should really, for us, be a way of life. Our tendency as fallen humans living in a culture that feeds discontentment, our tendency can very easily be to complaining. I wish I had more of this, that, or the other thing. I wish I had a nicer version of this thing that I already do have. I wish that I had more of what I have. And we complain. Why? And the Bible takes all of that and flips it on its head. It says we're not to be a culture of discontentment and complaining, but one of contentment and gratitude and thanksgiving. So we want to see what the Bible has to say about giving thanks today. And so we're going to see that it's commanded, and then we want to see it illustrated, and then take a little time to apply it to ourselves. All right, so thanksgiving commanded, illustrated, applied, very simple outline this morning. One that you've probably heard from on other subjects or other places before, but we'll see it first commanded. And you might first think of the Psalms when you think of the command to give thanks. Excuse me. And if you think of the Psalms as a place you would find that and you go to look there, you won't be disappointed. It'll be hard to not find a Psalm where thanksgiving is talked about. I'm not saying the majority of them say that, but if you go looking for thanksgiving in the Psalms, you'll find it. You should. Psalm 100 in verse 4. Excuse me. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. When we come into this place to worship, into the house of God, it should be with thanksgiving on our lips. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Sometimes we enter his gates with, I'd rather sleep into that. I want to be here. About 100 different things have gone wrong that morning. But no, we're to enter with thanksgiving. We have the privilege of gathering with God's people and worshiping, a privilege that you don't have in every country in this world and every place in this world. We have the ability to be here. We have the ability to just transport ourselves here and close to where when we came. And we probably all had breakfast this morning. And then we've got this body of Christ to encourage us and to help us along the way. We're to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks. Psalm 105 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Part of our thanksgiving is not just among ourselves, but letting others know what God has done for us among the peoples. Okay, we might immediately think to the ends of the earth. We've got a missionary from Madagascar to hear. Make known his deeds there and be thankful there. But you have people around you every day as well. Make known his deeds among the people. How often when somebody asks you how you are, instead of complaining, do you say, I'm really thankful. God has been good to me. And you can just leave it that generic, or you can be specific. Are you making known his deeds among the people with a heart of gratitude? I heard Al Mohler talk this week about thanksgiving and gratitude being a great apologetic tool that opens up a door of opportunity to speak about Christ. When you talk about being thankful to God, that thankfulness, an attitude of thankfulness, thanksgiving, in a world full of discontentment and complaining stands out. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. If you are full of gratitude, that is something that is going to shine like light in the darkness. And be a testimony. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. And then not just here, but to the ends of the earth. We'll be praying and supporting and sending those who would go to the ends of the earth to be thankful and to proclaim the name of Christ. Psalm 106 in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. You'll find that repeated throughout the Psalms. His steadfast love, his covenant love, his faithful love, his faithfulness, his kindness, his loving kindness. You'll see it translated all sorts of different ways. But that steadfast love endures forever. That's what makes it steadfast. It endures forever. It can't come to an end. In one of the hymns we sang this morning, it talked about his covenant not being able to end, not being able to be broken. His love, His faithful covenant love endures to the end. And that means He's given us every reason to have thankful hearts. His goodness and love are abundant and they're evident everywhere in our lives. We could spend the rest of the morning talking about various expressions of God's goodness and love to us, His people. Hopefully you've experienced that even in the last few days, celebrating with family and friends that you might not get to see very often. Even those things, even a great big Thanksgiving feast, little expressions of God's goodness, expressions of His love, which should fill us with thanksgiving. Isn't God good? Shouldn't we then give thanks? But the Psalms aren't the only place that you'll find where we're commanded to give thanks. You'll find it other places. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We're usually good at the asking part, the let your requests be made known part. But what about the thanksgiving part? With thanksgiving. And a promise follows that in the next verse, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Might sometimes our lack of peace reflect our lack of gratitude? We're to be anxious about nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts in your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't forget the thanksgiving part, even in the midst of trying circumstances, things that might cause us stress and anxiety and worry and chase peace away. A thankful heart can reorient our heart to remember all of the good things that God has given us. And it's then, perhaps, that the peace of God, we might experience it more clearly and more fully. Colossians 3 and verse 17, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do you give thanks in everything, in every circumstance, whatever you do? Are you always full of gratitude and thanksgiving to God? A lot of people want to know what the will of God is for their lives. I don't know what God's will for my life is. There's several places where the scriptures say, this is God's will for you. Spells it out for us explicitly. And you know what one of them is? It's giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It says some more things after that, but at least there, the will of God in Christ Jesus for you is to give thanks in all circumstances. Are you doing that? Am I? It's something mentioned so frequently in the Bible, and there's so many references that we haven't looked at this morning. Is something mentioned that often, is that receiving a proportionate amount of attention in your life? The Bible talks about giving thanks that often. Is that reflected? Is it bubbling out of you? Constantly welling up in your heart and spilling over in words as you pray. There's different ways to give thanks. You can do it when you pray. You can do it when you sing. There's songs of thanksgiving. You can do it when you're talking to someone else and just express, I'm so thankful to God. It doesn't have to be just one form, but is it something that is frequently coming out of your heart and out of your mouth? If you have kids, or you can think back to when you were a kid, or if you are one now, we as parents shower our kids with good things. We seek to. We make sure that they're clothed and fed and provided for and protected and taken care of. We transport them. We pray for sports and music and educate them, and we take them to church and read the Bible with them and share Christ with them, and we lovingly discipline them, and we give them healthy boundaries, and we hold their hands and we hug them and we love them and we tell them that we love them, and we are a reflection in that way of what our Heavenly Father is to us. Often a poor reflection, but still a reflection, as we seek to shower our kids with good things, and it seems like they should naturally well up with gratitude for all of the effort and energy and everything that we have poured into them with all of our hearts. It seems like it should just be like every day they get out of bed and come downstairs and say, thanks, Dad. thanks. And by your smiles and your chuckles, you know that that doesn't happen. Not always. We have to remind them. So a favorite question around our house is, what do you say? Somebody's done something. What do you say? Oh, thank you. What do you say? Thank you. And often instead of that, we hear grumbling and complaining and very keen observations of what is fair and what is not, and how one child got one thing and the other did not. And when we go to someone's house, we have to remind them, say thank you. Thank you for the food, for letting them play with your toys, for the hospitality. When you're leaving the game, remind them to thank the coach for their work with them. It's obvious that they should be thankful, but so often they aren't. So we tell them, we remind them. And kids, I'm not saying all this morning to pick on you, okay? You do need the reminder to be thankful. But if God is our Heavenly Father, adults, those of us that aren't kids anymore, how often is it the same? Shouldn't we wake up every morning and go, thank you, Father. I'm awake. I've got breath in my lungs. I'm in a warm bed. I don't want to get out of it, but I have one. And I have a job to go to today. I've got a family to take care of. And I have an abundance. Thank you, Lord. It should bubble out. But it's almost as though God has to say, what do you say, Aaron? Oh, right. Thank you. And we move on. It should be a way of life. It should just be welling up in our hearts, but too often we're full of complaining and discontentment and all of these things. Where we should be giving thanks, too often we're found complaining. So if someone had to characterize you, how would they answer this question or this survey question? So-and-so is a thankful person. Strongly agree, disagree, strongly disagree. You get like a poll question, right? So-and-so is a thankful person, or so-and-so is an unthankful person. Strongly agree, disagree, strongly disagree. Where would you get rated on that scale? Where would I? The scriptures say we should always fall on the so-and-so is a thankful person. Strongly agree. It's unmistakable in their life. We're commanded to it. We're called to it. What would people have to say about us? The people around us most often, what were our children, our spouses, our siblings, our co-workers, the people in our home say about us, are we a thankful people? The clear command of Scripture is that we be marked by thankfulness. It is God's will for you and for me. If we're truly thankful, we should be much more hesitant to complain. That's just a little bit of what Scripture has to say about giving thanks. You see that it's commanded. We are expected to be a thankful people. Secondly, let's see it illustrated. And so we've turned to Luke 17 this morning, and I want to read a story about 10 lepers. Now, leprosy was a skin disease. It could be different versions of it, but if you had leprosy and it was verified, diagnosed and verified, you had to live outside the city. You were an outcast. So that it wouldn't spread. So we encounter 10 lepers, 10 who had leprosy as Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Luke 17, I'm going to start at verse 11 and read down through verse 19. The Word of God. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Here are these 10 lepers, healed from that dread disease by the great physician Christ. Before Jesus came along, their situation was a desperate one. the reality that they're crying out for mercy shows that. You see that? They lift up their voices. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. To have a disease that relegated them to the status of outcasts from the city would have been devastating, life-altering, in not a good way. And so, with the depths of agony that came with a disease like that and the plight of these men, you can perhaps imagine the heights of joy that would have come with realizing that the disease and all of its sadly life-altering consequences all of a sudden were gone. Imagine the relief, the joy, the excitement, the feeling of almost not knowing what to feel. You're so excited. And what's going to happen next? But even with all of that excitement and joy and anticipation, we're only told of one who praised God and returned to thank Christ. You see, those two things go together as they often do in the Psalms, praising God and giving thanks. Praise God, and he turns around and he thanks Jesus. And I wonder if we respond that way when we receive the answer to our request as these 10 men did. Here's a model for us of thanksgiving and not thanksgiving, of what to do and what not to do. One shows us what to do, praise God and give thanks, and the others show us what not to do. Almost a sense of entitlement. I deserve this. I asked for it, I got it, and I'm going to keep trucking. Maybe they were caught up in the excitement of being healed, but shouldn't that excitement have turned them back to the healer? At least briefly, to give thanks. But that one that returned receives that greater blessing, that declaration, your faith has made you well. What is your immediate reaction to God's goodness to you? You just keep going about your business unaffected, or do you pause to glorify, to praise, and to give thanks to God? What would you have done that day if you were one of those 10? So you say, I would have gone back and given thanks. What is the pattern of our life to this point? Maybe that would be a better reflection of what we would do. And I hope it's true that you would have gone back and given thanks. Would you pause to glorify and give thanks to God? Easy to say that. It might have been harder when the others continued on, a little peer pressure there in some ways. So you and your coworkers know that you're going into an employee meeting, you're not certain whether you're going to have jobs at the end of it, and you all do. Do you thank the Lord, or do you head back to your work without saying a word about God's goodness to you, without acknowledging His faithfulness? You've been praying for a good report at the doctor, and you get it. Do you thank God, or you just go on your way? Glad that you're not sick. You prayed for help getting through final exams, and God grants you the grace to do so. Do you run to Him in thanks and praise? What if something like what happens here in Luke 17 happened at Grace Baptist Church? Would more than 10% of us be thankful? One out of 10. I hope so. I trust so. But just be reminded that sometimes our tendency is fallen sinners, those that aren't yet fully made into the likeness of Christ, though increasingly so. Sometimes our tendency is not to automatically give thanks, but to just go on our way. Be reminded this morning to be a people that give thanks. Paul didn't just command us to be thankful. As we saw in some of his letters, he modeled it. So we're seeing thanksgiving illustrated. We see it with this one of the 10 lepers. We also see it in Paul. And he could say in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And so do we model Paul in our giving thanks? Paul frequently, you'll find at the beginning of his letters, just do a survey this afternoon if you're looking for something to do. Go through Paul's letters and look at the first chapter of each one and see how often he gives thanks for the people that he's writing to. And Paul is writing to some stubborn, obstinate people who don't get the message the first time around. People who we would look at and say, they are not really all that lovable, some of them. And Paul is thanking God for them. And I wonder if we are willing to do the same, if we imitate that. Are we grateful to God for all of His children, even the ones that are annoying to us sometimes? If we're honest, we will say that not all of God's people make us happy all the time. Some of them get on our nerves. That's why Paul talks elsewhere about putting up with one another in love, having patience. Do you give thanks for God's people, even the ones that aren't your favorites? Paul finds something to be thankful for concerning them. Even sometimes he specifies that he is thankful for their faith. And so even the brother that troubles you the most, we can be thankful for, knowing that God has given him faith, that he is a brother. Instead of looking down our nose at these dear people because they don't quite meet your standards, try thanking God for them and see if your attitude towards them doesn't follow along and improve. See if they bother you less when you're giving thanks to God for them and their faith. And when you realize that you probably get on some people's nerves too. And that you are not perfect. And that you are not high and mighty. And that apart from the grace of Christ, you have nothing. Thankfulness can readjust our whole attitude and perspective. We talked about that a little bit with anxiety. It can do that in giving thanks for the people of God. So Paul says in Romans 1 and verse 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world." When good things are said about your brothers and sisters in Christ, do you kind of, I want good things to be said about me. I want people to talk about me that way. Or do you rejoice that God's name is being praised because good things are being said about his people? Thanking God for that. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. The Corinthians were some of those ones that were a little harder to love. They were slow to get the message sometimes. Just like me. Like us. What does Paul say about them? "Oh, you guys need work." Well, he does say that later, but listen, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 4, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus." Do you delight, when you think about that person that troubles you, do you delight that they have received grace from God, that they are your brother or sister in Christ? Let's not begrudge God for his grace. Where would we be without it? Philippians 1. Verse 3, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you." Verse 5, "Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." I do thank God for you all and your partnership in the gospel and making it known right here in Warsaw. Colossians 1, 3 and 4, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. As we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for the saints." I thank God for your love for the saints. I've heard about it. I see it. I see you loving one another, and sometimes I hear things that have happened that one of you has ministered to another, and I didn't plan it, I didn't organize it. It was just the body of Christ functioning like the body of Christ. When that happens, Paul gives thanks, and we should do. When you're the recipient of that sort of thing, you give thanks to God for it. 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 2, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers." Paul is a praying, thankful man. Do we imitate him? Do you notice with Paul the connection between prayer and giving thanks? We mentioned this already, but part of prayer should be giving thanks. Don't let your prayer life just devolve into a list of requests. "Lord, help me with this, with this, and help these people." Thanksgiving should be a regular part of your prayer. So should requests. Make that part of your prayer, but don't neglect the thanksgiving part. Paul, as he prays, "I'm always praying, always thanking God for you," he says. And that should be reflected in our prayer lives as well. So, thanksgiving commanded, illustrated, and now applied. And really, so the illustrations were the leper and the Apostle Paul. And really, we've applied it as we've gone. But let's do a little bit more of that this morning. I trust we've seen we should be thankful. And I know that what I'm saying today is not really new or shocking or insightful. You know that the people of God should be a people full of gratitude and thanksgiving. But I hope you've had opportunity to think about it a little bit this morning. And let's leverage the cultural moment here where we've been given an opportunity to think about thanksgiving. We're coming off this holiday titled Thanksgiving. Make use of that to do a little self-evaluation. We know we're supposed to be thankful. Duh. But use the moment to ask yourself, am I? Let's think about that for a few moments this morning. Am I thankful? Our thanks, as we noted at the beginning, is to be directed towards God. And as we see with the Apostle Paul, it should be constant. It should be ongoing. Are you thankful to God regularly on an ongoing, continual basis? Listen, if we believe, let me tell you some things we believe about God. If we believe that God made the world and everything in it, including us, and if we believe that He is all-powerful and all-knowing and everywhere present and unchanging, and that He is sovereign over all, and that He gives us the breath in our lungs, that He makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike, that He never fails to provide for His people, if we believe that He has done the work to have a people, that He sent His only Son to be the sacrifice to take the place of sinners like us, that through that sacrifice we have the forgiveness of sins, if we believe that He has given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment guaranteeing our inheritance in glory, if we believe that He has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness, if we believe that He is the strength in our weakness, that He will not let anyone or anything ever snatch us out of His hands, that He will never leave us nor forsake us, that He is always, always with us so that we need not fear, if we believe that He set His love on us while we were yet in our sin, if we believe that He chose us, called us, justified us, adopted us, is sanctifying us, and will glorify us one day, if we believe these things, and surely we could say more that we believe about God, but if we believe these things, then we must be a people of gratitude. We should be full of thanksgiving to this God who is and who does all of these things. One way to stoke your heart with gratitude is to meditate on God. Think about His nature, His attributes, His character, as acts of creation and salvation and providence, sustaining His people, and that should cause gratitude to well in our hearts. We should always be seeing His hand in our lives, thanking Him for His help and strength and guidance and protection and provision and much more, taking special note of particular answers to prayer and acknowledging them before God and before the congregation, like last Sunday or like you'll have the opportunity to do tonight as we gather for prayer. Let me just say, come to the prayer meeting. That's part of the lifeblood of the church where we fellowship together and where we bear one another's burdens and where we share our requests and say, listen, I'm struggling. I need you to pray for this. And where we hear each other's blessings and say, I want to rejoice and thank God. And we get to thank God together and worship together and pray together as the people of God, as they did in the New Testament. Those are important times in the life of the church. And as we're thinking this morning for the purpose of thanksgiving, let us not forsake the giving of thanks to God. God is sitting in heaven watching us. He's done marvelous things for us. Every gift comes to us ultimately from Him. And again, it's almost as if He has to speak to us like we're children sometimes. What do you say? Right. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Shouldn't we continually be giving thanks? God's delivered me. Yet again, am I going to fail to give Him thanks, or am I going to, just like my kids fail to thank me and their mom, or am I going to acknowledge God's goodness? May we be a people who are always seeing God's hand in the good and what we view as bad, and always be expressing our thanks to Him. It should be continual, as God is continually doing us good. Our thanks to Him should be just as continual and directed to the giver of the good gifts that we're showered with. What do we give thanks for? I hope you all could have a long list of things to give thanks for. Let me just suggest a few things personally in your own life. Life itself, the breath that you breathe, is a gift from God. Health, whatever measure of it that you have, you're able to be here today. Praise God for that. For a job, something that puts food on the table, God has provided work for you, even if it's not your favorite thing in the world, but He's given you a place, a calling to fulfill in your life at this time. He's given you shelter, a warm place to sleep at night, a roof over your head in the storm, clothing, transportation. We were, again, able to get here today. And food, that's easy to think about at Thanksgiving time. Man, I'm thankful for food and lots of it, an abundance of it. Good gifts like food are to be received with thanksgiving, 1 Timothy 4. What about education, kids, parents, and teachers, and professors that prepare us for the future? We may not be thankful for those things while we have them, but we ought to be. Are you students thankful for school, whether it's homeschool or you go to school somewhere, whether you're in college, whatever it is, thankful for that? we're so blessed beyond what we need or deserve. We tend to think, I need this, more of this. But do we really? We in this room have more than most people in the world will ever dream about having. Or will ever have. Let's not be complainers. Let's be thankful. What else can we give thanks for? How about family? Your children, for parents that love you and long to see you saved, even when they have lots of rules and you're frustrated with them, do you thank God for them? It may sound a little self-serving and self-promoting, but kids, if you're in this room today, you have it really, really good by God's grace. And I hope you thank God for all of the blessings He showered on you. Parents, do you thank God for your children who are a gift from the Lord? Do you view your children as a nuisance, as in the way and spoiling their fun, as a burden and killjoys in the way of what you really want to do? Or do you view them like Scripture does? Psalm 127 verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Do you thank God for that blessing? Parents, if someone were to spend a week around us, would they hear more thanking and praising God for our children or complaining about how hard life is because of them? That's for me. Husbands, you thank God for your wives, without whom we would be lost, who love us in spite of our flaws and mistakes. Those of you who are married, do you thank God for your wives? Wives, thank God for your husbands who love you and lead you and provide for you and care for you. I know that sometimes we are hard to love. But do you thank God for the gift of a husband? And we could go on and talk about grandparents and aunts and uncles and grandchildren and cousins and lots of other family connections. I'm not going to try to name all of them. Do you thank God for that family that He has given to you? Ask someone who's not enjoyed the gift of a good family. And that's true for some in this room as well. People that have not had a great family life. Ask them how thankful they would have been to have a family that loved them well. What about being thankful for trials and difficulty? God sends those things to us for our good and for our growth in grace. Struggle with trials and difficulties, yes, but also be grateful for them. They are developing us into the people God would have us to be. Do you ever thank God for hard circumstances? That's a really high standard. It's hard to do. But we remember that God knows best and is working His plan for our good. We can always be thankful for what He's doing in our lives. James 1:2, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. That's a high and a really hard standard. But we ought to be thankful, even for the difficult things what God is using for our good. What about spiritual blessings? You've got the Word of God in your language, more than one copy of it in your house. You can get it on your phone. You have easy access to God's revelation to man in His Word. There are many places still in this world where that would be a remarkable thing. We take it for granted. Do you ever thank God for His Word? When you sit down to read your Bible each day, you say, thank you, Lord, for this. Help me to understand it. We talked about praying for insight, but you also thank Him for it. Thank Him for the church, where we have the privilege of hearing God's Word, where we have the privilege of worshiping together and hearing God's Word faithfully proclaimed each week without fear of oppression or persecution. Do you thank God for this place? What a blessing to have a church home. The sacraments that we enjoy together. You praise God for the Lord's Supper, and when we get to experience it for baptism, God gives these gifts to His church. And we should give thanks for them. For the fellowship of the saints. What we enjoy here, what I love seeing you all do before and after the services, when we gather together, talking with one another, encouraging one another, sharing in one another's lives, bearing each other's burdens, rejoicing with each other, praying for each other, weeping with each other. That's a gift from God. Fellowship of the saints. You thank God for your brothers and sisters in Christ and that fellowship and that encouragement and challenge that they bring to you. And then the thing for which we are ultimately to be thankful is our salvation. God has given us His own Son so that we can be His sons too, sons and daughters, which should cause us just to be amazed that we are unholy outcasts like those lepers will be welcomed into the family of God as His children with full rights and privileges, with an inheritance guaranteed for us. If everything else crumbles around us, if we lose every earthly physical blessing that we've ever enjoyed, even if we lose our physical lives, we still have our salvation planned from eternity by God the Father, accomplished in history by God the Son, and applied to us in time by God the Holy Spirit. What more do we need in order to be able to give thanks to God? This is the ultimate thing for which we must and can, and it is our privilege to give thanks for. We can't even begin to describe or imagine or contemplate the magnitude of this gift of God to us. It's incomprehensible that God would save sinners like us who have rebelled against Him and deserve His judgment, and instead He shows us grace and gives us salvation. That we know that, and it's so familiar, we talk about that, our familiarity with it, but that should cause us to bow and wonder and love and praise at the feet of our Savior Jesus and thank and praise Him. So let our hearts be filled with gratitude to God for it. Have you experienced that gift of salvation? If you put your trust in the Savior Jesus, He is freely offered to all. Whoever will believe in His name will receive eternal life. Have you believed in His name? If not, you can cry out like the lepers did, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." You are just as unclean as those lepers were. Different kind of unclean, but unclean regardless. Romans 1, Paul is talking about those who suppress the truth in unrighteousness and their sin of rejecting God. And he says in Romans 1, 21, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened." Somebody pointed out this week that in that passage, talking about suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, one of the things that's identified about those people is that they don't give thanks to God. An act of rebellion against Him. If you're cruising along through your life thinking, I got it together, I'm okay, I'll be fine, I don't need God, you're saying, no, thank you. And you're not expressing gratitude to God, you're suppressing His truth and rejecting the gift of the Savior, then you're lost in your sin and you'll be punished for it forever. Unless you repent of your sin and believe in the great gift of Jesus that God has given. If you come to Him, He will not send you away. He will welcome you with open arms, will forgive you and give you the righteousness of Christ and receive you into an eternal glory in heaven reserved for you. What a testimony then you could give of the goodness of God to you. You could be filled with gratitude for salvation. You could come on Thanksgiving next year or prayer meeting tonight and talk about what God has done for you. Won't you come to Christ and give Him all the thanks and praise? So during this holiday, Thanksgiving, when even the world pauses to give thanks, how appropriate for us as the people of God to pause as well and to give thanks to God for His indescribable gift. That gratitude should be reflected in our words, when we sing, when we pray. It should be reflected in our actions. Our life should show forth our praise to God. God has been faithful to us. May we in gratitude be faithful to Him. And so may God work that kind of gratitude into each person here this morning. And as we transition from Thanksgiving to the Christmas season, I know the retailers all pretty much skip Thanksgiving. It's Christmas everywhere you look if you walk into a store. But as we transition from Thanksgiving to the Christmas season, for many people, consumerism and greed and an insatiable desire for more things, discontentment, that will dominate. More, more, more. Presents, gifts, what can I get, what can I have? Many, many will be dominated by that thinking. Instead, Thanksgiving is a great preparation for what comes during this time of year. May we instead carry with us gratitude into this time of year, being thankful for what we have, and most of all for the One whose birth that we celebrate at this time of year. Even if there was nothing under your Christmas tree in a month, it would be okay. And you would still have everything to be thankful for. because we have the greatest gift, Lord Jesus Christ. So may we be a thankful people indeed. Let's pray together.